like I say, something's not right, and something's not right in there, man.
Let's get our next call in. I'm really glad you woke Tony back up here at 28 past 11 o'clock in the Eastern Time as we continue to roll on. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome on the Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello to our next caller. Yeah, I'm going to do this one more time. Hello, that's you. Yeah, I'm just go right ahead.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, this is Al from PA.
Hey, Al, great to talk to you, man.
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Al.
You know what northeastern PA football is all about, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Colgate and Sunbright and
Yeah, we're not seeing none of that with this football staff.
Could you be more specific? What do you mean?
Well, you know, we're not aggressive on defense or offense. You know what I'm saying?
Jerry, what do you think about that? Aggressive on defense or offense? They were a little more aggressive defensively tonight, yes?
I thought they were a lot more aggressively, Tony. Aggressive, Tony. They didn't look like the same defense. Just the calls. I thought it looked like he purposely tried to stay, like we talked about, ahead in the down and distance game, you know, by disrupting them early in the down and distance count. And I thought they were successful at it. I mean, if you look at it, too, I thought they never really allowed them to get in any sort of rhythm, throwing the ball or running it. So, really, again, man, I really except for just the bonehead defensive call and the this way they executed that thing. I thought he really showed some stuff which I hadn't seen from him probably since early last season, Tony. I thought he was pretty aggressive in my opinion.
Go ahead, Al. Anything else for us?
Yeah. To me, I mean, I think we were more laxed on defense. There's no way in heck that Florida team should have beat us. We've out-recruited them for how many years now? And they beat us tonight. So that tells me everything I need to know about Butch Jones. I mean, I wanted him to work out, but for us to lose to them tonight, that tells me him and his staff needs to go. Because, you know, do I got high expectations? Yeah, I should. And yeah, I do. But for our team to lose to that team tonight, that's uncalled for. I'm sorry. You can call me a negavol, you can call me anything you want, but we outclassed that team every way possible except for coaching.
There's no doubt about that. And their head coach has won with mirrors down there now for three straight years. Why? I believe it's because of his rhetoric. I believe it's because of the way he talks. I believe it's because he talked trash coming into that game. And Butch Jones is just a guy who talks like he coaches. He coaches scared, and he talks scared. And I don't relate to that. I'm sorry, but I do not relate to that. I like guys that will tell the truth and talk like men. He doesn't talk like a man. I'm sorry.
Nope.
I'm sorry.
Not at all. And that's what upsets me, man, because this is Tennessee football here. I mean,
you're damn straight. This is bad news, Kafago. This is my man. This is my man, Tony Robbins. This is my man, Jerry Colquitt. This is the late 90s. And some of the great things that we've seen. Yep.
We are the creme of the creme. And we're sitting here looking like a punk on national television.
Yes, we have been. Yep.
And I live up here in Pennsylvania, where you're from, Tony. 35 miles north of Harrisburg, and between Harrisburg and State College. And I get to listen to all these Penn State people talk crap.
Yep.
And it's like, look, dudes, you guys need to come down to the SEC.
Exactly.
And then you'll find out what it's like to play big boy football.
Come get you some.
But then we come out tonight and look like a punk.
That really pissed me off, losing that game.
Yeah.
I can't believe that happened. Jerry was right. Jerry told me that Josh Smith was going to have a big game. Jerry said that our tight ends would get loose late. Jerry said John Kelly would have a great day running out of the spread. Jerry, you nailed that game. You nailed everything, Jerry, but the final score.
But it really is frustrating, especially that series, Tony, right before the end of the half. Tony, I got and here's the thing, too. When you have our running backs, and you could tell it, man, you could watch it on tape. Those guys are getting in the rhythm. Chandler, Kelly. Man, give them the ball when you get down there.
Yeah.
That defense was begging for you to throw it. Tony, on first down, okay, we have Callaway and Palmer over in the slot out to the right.
Yep.
And that is a very difficult play to execute when you get man-on-man, when they try to run the pick play from the outside and try to get the inside guy loose. That's the stuff that you see on Sundays. I thought that was a little much for two freshmen out there. Palmer with the drop. And then Palmer, man, you got to come across the face of that guy. Dormy throws it right in there in that tight window, and you got to come across the face of him and catch that ball. How many times have you seen Michael Irvin on a slant? Even sometimes when someone lines up inside of him, he still gets inside of him and got to catch the ball.
Tony, right, what there. Do you think? Tony, what do you think about what Jerry's saying on that slant play?
I agree. Listen. That guy supposed to come across that play. That's why I say that was not Dormady's fault on that interception. That was not his fault. The receiver fooled him. He's supposed to come on across that guy. He comes across, T. You know, I think it's a touchdown. But let me explain something else to you. We need a combination route off of that. Inside guy does the out route. Outside guy, quick slant. You know, you got a combination route there. You know, and I tell you what, Tony, when I was in college, man to man, I ran that play. That play right there, we complete that play 100 times for a touchdown. That play, the inside guy runs an out route, the outside receiver runs a quick slant, and it's man-to-man route. Somebody's open. One of those guys is going to be open. And every time I call that play, it's a touchdown, Tony. Every time. You know, we need some more combination routes down on the goal line.
Now, Tone, when you say combination routes for the folks listening,
uh-huh.
That means?
Well, that means... You know, you got a combination route where you got an inside guy. Well, our inside guy this time, he ran a slant, okay? Where this guy should have run an out route, and our outside guy runs a slant route. That way, you know, you got a combination route. You got a either one, the slant route or the out route. They can't take away both of them. It's man-to-man coverage. More likely, the out route's going to be there. If they both jump it, then your slant route's going to be there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I mean by combination route, especially down the goal line like that.
Jerry,
that's an easy route.
Jerry, you have anything else you'd care to add?
Yeah, and on that play that you're talking about, you have to get the pick. Tony, you have to get it's the same concept but in reverse that happened in the Super Bowl to Seattle, right? You're trying to get the inside slant, but when you got double press out there, that guy that – picking for the guy that you want to throw to, Tony, he has to get his behind off the ball.
It's a pick play.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Go and watch the play there. The outside guy, he barely got off the ball, Tony. If he gets off the ball and runs his slant, then Callaway is going to be wide open over there for that play. To me, that's a lot to ask of two freshmen to run at it. And not only that, if I'm your pick guy, Tony, he's got to be your biggest wide receiver. I didn't think that was the right play to run with those two guys.
Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, my man. Go ahead. Jump in there.
Yeah, Tony, me and my church's staff, I've been a part of youth, high school, college football for 20 years. You know where Franklin came from? Bloomsburg.
You got it.
Yep. I was a part of the Bloomsburg coaching staff after Franklin left. So we're sitting here watching our game, and then we're watching the Penn State game, and we're picking the Tennessee defense apart like it's nothing. And it's so easy. I'm sitting there. I'm calling the offense like I'm going to run a slant here. Slant's wide open, but we don't call it. I'm running a middle draw here. There's nobody there to stop it. And it kills me. And all my buddies were sitting there who was coaching with me said, dude, like Tennessee's offense and defense is so easy to score on. I said, yeah, I know exactly. Right. So that's what gets me. You know, it's like, I love Butch. I want Butch to succeed because if he succeeds, we're all happy.
Yep.
But I'm sitting there watching this game and it's like, oh my God, he's horrible. This off, he needs to go. I'm sorry. He needs to go. If I'm sitting here picking apart his defense, they need to go. They really do.
Really appreciate your time. Wasn't Franklin at Shippensburg, though, and not Bloomsburg?
No, he was at Bloomsburg.
Oh, thank you, brother. Have a great one.
Yes, you too.
865-200-5402. Tim Priest, yeah, I want you to hear this today, Bina. Jerry, I want you to hear this. I want T-Rob to hear this. See, the VFL love that you guys have for the program, it's undeniable. Tim Priest has that VFL love as well. I want to sit back and listen to this montage of him lose his damn mind today. Here we go. This is
first and goal at the Gator 1 yard line.
Please go under center.
Crossing paddle and pattern, and Callaway was wide open. Here's Dormady throwing the ball in the end zone. That pass is intercepted. Now he's dropped it. Oh, Dawson dropped it. And I thought Florida had jumped, but I don't see a penalty flag down. Now there is a flag down.
They're going to get a taunting or an unsportsmanlike at the end. Marquez Callaway kept that from being an interception.
He sure did. That was a terrible decision. He threw into double coverage on the 1 yard line. Oh, my.
The ruling on the field is an incomplete pass.
Tennessee needs 6 inches to take the lead here at Florida. There's the snap, and now a penalty flag comes down.
All sides.
And Tennessee has jumped.
They did.
False start. 66 offense. 5 yard penalty. First down.
Garantano now leaves, and Dormady is back in for Tennessee.
Just got to keep your poise. Got him reeling, and we jumped. Dormady has made two really bad decisions where to throw it on this drive. I'm almost afraid to have him throw it again.
10th play of the drive that started at the 49-yard line after the Florida fumble. The coverage to make the tackle on
Tennessee's Kelly. Tennessee's right tackle completely whiffed on the defensive end and allowed him to come in on Dormady, and he had to just get rid of the ball. You've just got to be careful with this throw.
Gets the snap. Back to throw. Quick slant is intercepted at the 1 yard line. Dawson picks off the pass. He read the quick slant. And Duke Dawson steps in front of the goal line to intercept and stop the Tennessee drive. Dawson's second interception of the season. Tennessee had it first and goal at the 1 and comes away on this drive with no points.
Three terrible decisions by Tennessee's quarterback. The first two did not turn into interceptions. This time, two things. The receiver let the defensive back beat him on the slant. You cannot do that. But secondly, you can't throw it when the only jersey you see is blue.
Jerry, did Priest read that properly, or do you disagree on the rub? And I like how pissed off he was. I love that.
Well, I'm throwing it. I'm throwing the slant. I'm expecting him to get in there. Because on that kind of play, Tony, it's pitch and catch. You can't double clutch it. So when you decide to throw it, the ball's out of your hand, Tony. You can't double clutch that kind of throw.
And Jerry, did you notice later on in the ball game after
And Jason Swain, I'll give him credit. He's the one who pointed that out to me, or not to me directly, but I saw it from him on Twitter that, you know, talking specifically about that's really on the receiver more so than Dormady. Did you notice later on the ball game, Florida had a very similar play where their receiver, and then they zoomed it in. I think it was just on a first down catch, and they focused on the receiver and the cornerback against Justin Martin. It was a third down conversion, and he took one step, and he probably didn't run the route quite as deep as he wanted to, but his first move was just to get in front of Justin Martin to make sure that he gave his quarterback a target to hit.
I would love to hear if somebody on Twitter has Tim Priest's call after that insane play at the end of the game. I bet he lost his – I bet he lost his junk. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Tim Priest, man, he's on snap alert. He is on absolute snap alert. Next call in, Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. We're in hour six. Hello and welcome. Welcome to the show. Hello. All right, let's go to our next call. Hello and welcome in. Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction.
A couple of points here.
Go right ahead.
To Jerry and Tony, can you name one person under the Butch Jones era that has improved in 4 years of being at the school at any position?
Jerry, improvement. What do you think?
I'd have to say I do think Josh Dobbs did get better over the course of how many years did he play? About 3 years?
He was a four-year kid.
He really was on the field for about three. I thought he showed improvement. Our wide receiver last year, I'm forgetting his name, he was number three.
Malone.
Malone, I thought, started playing towards the end of the season like we all thought he should have played. I thought he started that Florida game.
Gary, you're like in a bad cell or skipping around or something. Get back where you were?
But then you got Kamara, who has gotten four touches in a few big games last year, and Sean Payton is putting Adrian Peterson on the bench to stay there because this kid has so much talent. And we're playing big games, and this guy has got three touches.
It's asinine. And like Tony said tonight, if you really want to win tonight's game, instead of being cute, why doesn't Butch Jones give Kelly about seven more touches in that football game? Makes no sense. Mm-hmm.
This is sad, sad state. We need 6 inches, okay? If you're not smart enough to do a sneak or anything, get the quarterback under the center. We need 6 inches, and we're in a damn shotgun in the fifth year of his program.
Butch Jones needs to get a sponsorship for Subway.
Even when we had a bulldozer like Jalen Hurd in the background, like in Oklahoma, we didn't give him the ball.
Jerry, they ripped you forever on Twitter and on Periscope and Jerry Colquitt. What did you say, Jerry Colquitt, in year one of this guy's regime about the fullback?
Yeah, I said it's one of those positions where now the game is so cute, right? It's all about the stats. It's all about the QBR, you know, how many points you win by instead of, you know, did you win or not? And it really is a position where you can change the complexion of the game on the other team's defense, and you don't even know that you're doing it. I'm telling you, especially at linebacker these days, because there's so much one back and so much shotgun and passing and this and that, teams don't even get a whole lot of looks versus a physical downhill running game. And watch, how many times have we seen it? Linebackers, especially in college, most of them don't really have the true size to play at that next level. Those guys have trouble taking on blocks.
Yep.
And you keep sending a hammer at them about 15 times a game, and you ask them, hey, you get around that Mario Brunson, and God bless you if you can make the tackle on John Kelly coming through there. If you can do that, you're a hell of a player.
Jump in, caller. Go ahead, man. Go ahead, buddy.
Make the defense do that enough.
Go ahead, caller. Jump in.
I'm originally from South Bend. I haven't seen anything worse than tonight, and I've went through Willingham, Weiss, and Bob Daisy. That was fireable, what he did today.
Yep.
I mean, I have no words. You need 6 damn inches, and you're taking over the swamp, and you got this idiot in the shotgun. What are you doing?
It's Butch Jones said afterwards that it wasn't decision, it was scheme. That's why.
If he gets on a damn bus to get to the airport, I'm embarrassed to live here.
But it's a scheme. Does that make you feel better? He said it was scheme.
It doesn't. I'm sitting in my bedroom. I just can't believe this shit. Thank you for listening, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
865-200-5402. I mean, Jerry was like a prophet of doom. He said, if this guy doesn't figure out how to mesh systems, ain't gonna work here. You're not gonna beat people in this league. You need to beat. And today we had an opportunity to beat low-hanging fruit, a not-so-good Florida team. Tony, you have anything else you want to add to our previous caller, Tony Robinson, the legend on the legend line? Go ahead, Tony.
So, I'm upset, man. I'm still upset about this thing, man. You know, we just can't seem to get over the hump. You know what I mean? We're climbing that hill, and all of a sudden, something just knocks us back down a few steps. You know, something's got to be done, man. Something's got to be done about this thing, and tonight is a pure is a clear example.
Yeah, Jerry, you can hear Tony's got the whistles going in the background over there. Jerry, Tony's getting serious, man.
probably most craziest play was, I think, we hit, I think it was Callaway.
Yeah.
Callaway on for a play. Then we got to 3rd and 2, and they put Dormady under center, and I think we brought a couple tight ends in there. I'm like, all right, here we go. I thought, Tony, they were going to hand it to John Kelly, and I swear to you, it reminds me of the Super Bowl we lost to New England, when you just know that tailback's in that rhythm and in that zone.
Yep.
And at that point on that 3rd and 2, man, you have to give it to him. He probably would have hit his head on the goalpost.
And what did we do? Refresh my memory.
Play action pass. I wrote down here, we got a holding penalty.
Jerry, we got inside the
12.
Jerry, we got inside. I'm a quick quiz for you, okay? Because Butch Jones wants you to multitask, okay? Quick quiz for you. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
We got inside the 10-yard line, and we ran 7 plays from inside the 10-yard line. How many of those were running plays from scrimmage, Jerry?
0.
Very good. What's 2 plus 2?
4.
What's the square root of 9?
81.
What's pi?
Pi is 3.14.
Or 22/7.
Mm-hmm. But you'll take the 3.14, won't you?
At this hour, I would have taken 3. Tony, what are you eating over there, buddy?
And some chicken teeth. You have
some? Tony, is a really stupid question for you. Is that chicken fried or baked?
Fried chicken. Popeye fried chicken and a macaroni and cheese.
3.145 is pi, right?
Now, the question I have for you, T-Rob, is I know Popeye's is not open at 11:52 p.m. Eastern. So how old is that? Okay.
When did you go? Tony, where did you get your chicken? When did you go?
The start of the game. Wow. I didn't go, you know, Mom went out and bought 2 big buckets of chicken and everything for us to watch the game with.
Tony, what's 8 plus 2?
4.
Thank you. Let's go to our next call. Jerry, do you like that we were yelling math problems at our at our wide receivers. Do you think that helped Florida Week? Butch was proud of that earlier in the week. Are you proud of it?
Man, it's just a whole lot of getting cute. Tony, one of the things that I wrote down early here as I was watching the game, I thought in the first quarter or two, I thought we tried to be too cute. You know, for instance, that we had the screenplay where it was a combination slant with Callaway, and the other half of the play was a screen to John Kelly. Is that the right play to run on the road with a first-year wide receiver on the road? You're trying to just keep the game in front of you and let you guys make plays. Why do you have to make that play? That was the one where if he would just threw the screen would have picked up yards.
People are wondering what's up with the math questions, Jerry. Why am I asking math questions, Jerry?
Because it was reported that Butch Jones this week was asking the guys math questions during wide receivers drills because they were to increase their concentration because they were dropping passes during the Georgia Tech game.
Correct.
I'm sorry, but it's just
no. That's why I'm doing it. He told the quarterback club. Listen to me. He told the quarterback because we've only been on now 5.5 hours. He told the quarterback club that he went into this whole thing about catch radius and this whole long drawn out bullshit that he does. And that's what it is. It's just him blathering on. He doesn't know shit from Shinola, but he's just blathering on. And he says at one point, yeah, you know, there have been some studies. Whenever he says something about a study, run. And so he said there have been studies, and what we're doing is elasticity in the brain, and we're trying to do, you know. I mean, one thing I learned tonight, you don't ask Tony Robinson math questions while he's eating his chicken. Tony Robinson isn't multitasking. He don't have time for that. He's too busy getting to the gravy and the greens. Tony, you eat mixed greens or collard greens? I don't think Tony eats any greens. Tony, you eat mixed greens or collard greens?
I eat mixed greens, collard greens.
I love mixed greens.
Mustard greens. I love greens.
So that's what this guy does. He shouts math problems at people. But here's his math problem. What's the final score tonight?
26-20.
Jerry, what's 26 from 20?
What's what?
26 from 20. Or 20 from 26, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. That's a math problem for Butch Jones. That's a problem. Let's go back to our phones, 865-200-5402. Before we go back to the phones, though, Al has a point he wants to make about this Cal game. Go ahead, Al.
It's 11:55 on the Eastern time zone.
Yes.
And I'm tired, but I'm about to wake myself up here because I'm getting frustrated. I glanced up at an 8-yard hitch route about 5 minutes ago, looked up three plays later, and just out of his outstretched arms as he dove in the end zone for Cal. Who else but Vic Wharton, okay, is out there balling it up for Cal when we're over here making excuses while we have 27 people that they've only played, that's all we have that have ever played in Florida. Okay.
Not to mention that Helm kid on from Duke who
Riley Ferguson that balled out today and beat a ranked team. Yeah. Okay. Somebody on Periscope was talking about the study Butch was talking about and said something about a 4-year study. Well, I know a 5-year study that's getting ready to conclude if something doesn't change around here.
26 minus 20 equals a loss, Jerry, actually. It doesn't equal 6. So
you
let's go.
26 minus 20.
Let's go back to our phones. T-Rob.
Alex is getting fired up.
T-Rob's licking his fingers right now. I got to show people, T-Rob, that are watching on the Periscope tonight. I'm going to bring the Periscope up to you because T-Rob is trying to say something here. Let's bring T-Rob up here. T-Rob, you're out of focus. Now you're in focus. All right, T-Rob, say something, buddy. Go ahead, say something.
I got one for you. Okay. Third down and three.
Third and three.
Okay. We call a play.
Yeah.
Ethan Wolf goes 2 yards deep.
Yeah.
2 yards deep. And we punt the ball. Now, Jerry, question.
Yeah.
What would happen if you throw the ball 2 yards deep and we need 3 yards?
Say your question again, Tony.
We got third down and three. The play is called Ethan, the ball is thrown to Ethan Wolf. He's only 2 yards deep. Now, back when you were playing, if you throw that route, what would happen?
Somebody would probably get chewed out, and you better be lucky that he was able to catch it and run for the first down.
Yeah. I only got chewed. My point exactly, I would have got chewed out by Coach Harris and Coach Majors, but if the play is called, you know what I would say in the huddle? Go 5 yards deep. Go 5 yards. Let's get the first down. Go past the first down so we can get the first down. We're third down. We're third and three. 2 yard route. We don't get the first down. We punt the ball. You know, that doesn't make any sense to me, man. That doesn't make any sense to me. You're going to call a 2 yard route. Somebody needs to get chewed out about that route, man.
Yeah. Tony. That's about three of those now. Cause, number seven had one Georgia Tech game. He caught one just short of the sticks, tried to turn up, got tackled. And remember, I thought it might have been on the very first series where Jennings, the one we were all disappointed where he caught it. We thought he should have turned up, lowered his shoulder. He ended up kind of running laterally to get it. So that's obviously something that they have thought that they would be successful at. But now we already knew beforehand, but now that's a trend. So that's something that they definitely got to scrap, quit throwing these plays in front of the sticks where they think guys can run after the catch to get the first down. You got to scrap that at this point.
Yeah, you got to scrap that, you know, because I know when I was playing, man, and I know we got a little short yardage for first down, and the play is called. I'm like, you know, I call the same play, but I'll tell the receiver, hey, man, get the first down. Go past the first down marker. And we all understood that. You know what I'm saying? We all understood that part. So, you know, it's not only on the, you know, that's what the quarterback's for. Hey, get yourself, you know, get the coach, bail the coaches out sometimes. You got to bail them out sometimes, you know.
Yep.
So,
yep.
If you're in the game, you know the down and distance, you know the situation, and you know I need 3 yards and I got a 2 yard route, hold up, man. Hey, man, go past the first down marker. Let's get the first down.
Anything to our caller, anything else you care to add? All right, thank you. Great phone call tonight. 865-200-5402. The legend himself, the legend on the legend line is Tony Robinson. Jerry Colquitt, as we told you earlier, and Jerry, you'll go back and watch the graphic later. Jerry's in FEMA Quadrant 10. T-Rob is there. It is your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. My name is Tony Basilio with you tonight, making it happen with you. All lines currently jammed as they will stay throughout. Let's go back to our phones. And T-Rob, let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in.
Hi, Tony.
Welcome in. Thank you for being a part of our forum tonight.
All right, calling in here from New Jersey tonight, displaced ball fan up here.
All right, my friend. Good to talk to you. Where in New Jersey?
A little town called Warren, New Jersey.
Warren, New Jersey.
Between New York and Pennsylvania.
All right, my friend. Good to talk to you.
Rough day. Don't ask me math questions. My brain's a little scrambled after that crazy game.
I hear you.
But wondering with the two quarterbacks there, what do they think about this snap, trap, crap, I'll call it, that we run? We don't yell cadences anymore. We just snap, clap to snap the ball. Seemed to cause two, offsides penalties down there, and we were about to score at one point as well.
Oh, and I got something to add on to that. Did you notice, as I'm glad you brought this up, did you notice that at one point in the game,
Florida, I think it was like late in the first half. I'm not sure exactly when it was, multiple times actually. But at one point in the game, every time we went to snap the ball, Florida was just all over it. Florida was moving faster than our offensive line. That clap thing, they've got to figure out some other way. Clap twice, do something. But Florida had the snap count so early in that ball game.
Another potential sponsor for Butch Jones, clap on, clap off.
And it's through multiple offense coordinators now. So that's a Butch Jones thing.
I tell you what, I feel like I need penicillin. I feel like I have the clap after I watch him play.
I mean, if you would think a linebacker could fake clap, you got people in the swamp down there, I'm sure they're fake clapping, you know, close enough down at the goal line where you can hear it. It can't be, you know, a great system. Does anybody else in the country run the snap clap trap here?
Jerry, what do you think of the snap clap trap? And then, Tony, I'll come to you. What do you guys think of the snap clap trap?
Yeah, it's pretty familiar in terms of with the no huddle offense. A lot of teams do it. The clap, the clap is the cadence. So, you know, and that's what you get. You know, with this no huddle, hurry up offense, the center will look underneath his legs when he sees or hears the clap, then he knows he's to snap it. But to me, when it's like that, I feel like, and you saw it even some last year, I feel like the quarterbacks are taking their eyes away from the line of scrimmage a lot of times, and missing blitzes, opportunities to check out. And also, too, you know, you'll see defense, they'll start timing that thing up as the game goes on because they know that you're never going to go on two or go on a long count or something like that.
Somebody just asked, what about, like, going hut hike?
Yep. That's what we're talking about.
It's difficult to do that, though, because that's something that's always been done. And this guy and his ilk have to reinvent football. Well, I mean, Jerry, you can't say hut hike. I mean, for God's sakes, Fran Tarkington said that, and Peyton Manning said that 20 years ago. And, I mean, Tim Tebow might have said hut hike. You got to clap and clap and rap and clap and smap and – right, T? I mean, you can't just say hike.
Well, you got to do it. Well, Tony, first of all, if you never played in the swamp, then you don't know what it's like trying to call signals down there. Okay? So, you know, you got to have a solid count or something, or some type of signal to the center. And that's where the offensive linemen got to be dialed in also. Okay? Look, it's a solid count. Watch the ball. Watch the ball, please. Watch the ball. When the ball is snapped, we're moving. You know what I'm saying? So we're kind of throwing everybody off. Okay, so we got two penalties down there by the goal line. Jack Jones, we get two penalties back to back, offside penalties. So you know we got to concentrate a little bit more here. Like I say, we've blown too many opportunities down there on the goal line. I think we need to go to a solid count with some type of signal needs to be between the center and the quarterback, and we can get the play run.
Our caller just said, Tone, in his opinion, that you had defenders clapping while we're clapping. It looks like a ball of confusion out there.
Well, what I'm saying is there's no clap. There's no clap, T. There's no clap. The center and the offensive line, the center and the quarterback, that, you know what I'm saying? We all know. There's no clap. So there's a signal between the center and the quarterback when the ball's going to be snapped, and the offensive lineman need to be watching the ball. You watch the ball, you can't go offside. You don't jump offside, you know. So that's a big thing. Wide receivers. A wide receiver should never jump offside if he's watching the ball. You know, he doesn't know the snap count. He's watching the ball. Offensive line, watch the ball. You know, there's no clap. It's a signal between the center and the quarterback when he's ready to snap for him to snap the ball. He gives him that signal. He snaps the ball. Everybody's watching the ball. You know?
To our caller, how much of a pleasure is it for you to be listening to Tony Robinson and Jerry Colquitt talk football? Like, isn't this fun?
Oh, this is unbelievable. Tony, I grew up, went to the University of Tennessee, and, multiple games with Tony Robinson at quarterback, including the Auburn game. I graduated from UT in 1993. And just both those guys are heroes of mine growing up, you know.
I mean, this is just, I'm pinching myself, you know?
Yeah.
I'm pinching myself.
Like I said earlier, I donated a little bit earlier on the tip jar. Everybody else should do the same if they've been on hold all night tonight as well to keep this going. And I was so mad after that game and listening to the show. Somehow it just calms me down and gets me through it a little bit more, talking to other people than running around here stewing. Because I can't talk to other people up here about it.
Group therapy, you know. And for where you live, I was with my brother last year after Penn State won the SEC championship. And we were driving in the car, and we couldn't find anything on the phone, on the internet, anywhere.
Oh, they'll be talking about Jets, you know.
Yeah, nobody discussing that Penn State game. And my brother turned to me and he said, "Man, that is a really great thing you do for that Tennessee fan base." He said, "You know," it dawned on me then. Like, people have told me that we've gotten them home, and you know, when you're making your way from a stadium. Like, there are a bunch of people listening to us right now who are in transit coming out of Gainesville tonight, who are sick and didn't stay the night. I know, because I've been there on the road. And they're listening to us, and we're helping to get them home, man. We're 5.5 hours strong into this thing, and I'm still going. I want to see people rock that tip jar so we can stay up. I'll stay up all night with you if we keep getting tipped.
I've never made the trip to Gainesville.
I truly appreciate it, because up here in New Jersey, I would have no other outlet.
Well, thanks, man. Hey, thank you for being there.
It's fantastic. One other thing about the game I gotta make. These silly freaking fake timeout injury things on the field for the defense to get a breather, there's got to be something. You know, UT lost this game on their own, but this, I'm getting sick of this. Like, 33 set out there for about 3 minutes on the field drinking Gatorade, eating sports chews while they got a rest and we're down there about to score. And I don't know. Something's got to be done about that. That didn't seem like too good of a – I don't know anybody else's opinion on that. But
thank you. Let me ask Jerry about that. Jerry, what do you think about these guys faking, and Texas just got a first down. What an unbelievable catch. Texas driving. They are about to upset USC. Texas down 14-10, driving with the football. The ball at the USC 18-yard line. 102, clock rolling now as a reset after a made first down, then a pass to the end zone, overthrown. Wow.
I think Herman, I saw a stat today, I think this was the stat, that he's 6-0 against AP-ranked teams, as they show Vince Young on the Texas sideline. I think he's 6-0. And everybody's sitting there going, okay, well, that's going to change after this ball game. But they got 54 seconds about 25 yards to go, and that streak could continue, actually.
Yeah, gigantic win for him, and that's why college football is great, because Texas kids have gone out there, and they didn't read the hype. And Jerry Colquitt told me this game would be close, because he thought USC would sleepwalk through this thing, and that's exactly what John Adams told me on a TV show that we were doing earlier this week. He was telling Charlie of Charlie's Choice Cuts that Texas would play him off their feet. I don't think he knew that Texas would make that catch right there. That catch is unfreaking believable by Erlanger of Erlanger Hospital down in Chattanooga. Guy's got his own hospital, Jerry. That was an unbelievable catch. Jerry sounds excited. He's not even looking at it.
I'm 100% dialed in on the show. I don't even have my TV on right now.
Jerry's so sick of this crap. Vince Young's over there. I bet Vince Young, if you yelled some math problems at him, Jerry could handle them. Let's go back to our phones.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
Hey, hold on. I got my daughter coming. I'm going to click back over, but hold on.
All right, stay right there. Jerry's got his lovely. I'm going to put you on hold. You text me back and let me know when you're ready, and we'll get our next call in. You got the great Tony Robinson, Alex Myers, and Tony Basilio with you on a night where Texas has just taken the lead on USC. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, good morning, Tony. This is Lloyd Testerman.
Hey, good morning, Lloydie.
Well, I was going to talk to Jerry real quick. I guess he's on the other line.
He'll be back. Let me see if he's back with us. Hang on.
Okay.
Jerry, you there?
I can make my other point.
All right, go ahead.
So, you and I, you probably won't remember this, but we had a phone call off the air, and Justin Credible was on the three-way call. And it looked like we were going to hire Charlie Week, and then that fell through and we got Botch. And you said this guy's going to be better than Charlie Strong, which I think is totally right. And then I remember I said to you, Tony, I said, cool, man, maybe this guy can really coach. And you said to me, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant.
And that has literally stuck with me every game of his tenure.
Well, I would love to take credit for that, but Eric Waddell. Well, yeah, he's listening to us tonight. And for those that don't know, he's a guy who's in Minnesota now, but he's a former sportscaster here. And Eric is a guy whose grandfather graduated from Cincinnati and father and all that stuff. But he's also a Tennessee fan. He came here, and he's a Vol fan. And he came on when we first hired Butch Jones. He said, here's what you're getting. You're getting a guy that for Monday through Friday is going to be pretty good. He's going to recruit well. He's going to represent the team well. He's going to say slogans and make you angry and all that. He said on game day, he's a minus. Mm-hmm. Not a plus. He's a minus. And that's pretty much what Butch Jones has been since he's been here. He's a minus on game day, man.
So follow me here. And this is not me trying to carry water for the coaching staff.
Yeah.
But when you have you just scratch all the goofy stuff, and it's 2017 Florida, and Tennessee's got the ball first and goal at the 10 with like maybe two and change to go, a little bit over two.
Yeah.
And Larry Scott called a beautiful play to John Kelly on that little rub route out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
And the best player on the field by a mile drops the ball when he could have walked it. I didn't agree with the play call. At the time, I thought we can run it. But, I mean, that's an easy walking touchdown, right? 24-20.
Yes. Sure.
Okay, so you miss that. And then you think, okay, we'll run it here and get 3 or 4 yards. No. They go to Callaway, who's the best playmaker, in one-on-one coverage. The ball goes through his hands. Maybe it was too fast or whatever, but still, Callaway's hands, like the ball was going through his hands. So that's a touchdown, 24-20, right?
Yep.
If you don't think, and I'm not trying to be, I really don't want to try to rain on anything, but if you don't think that's a curse at this point with this program and that series, I mean, my God, I mean, there's no way to explain it. It's a total curse. I mean, there's no other program against Alabama that's a catch 10 times out of 10.
Jerry, are you back with us?
Yes, Tony.
Okay, so Jerry told me earlier today.
Can I tell him?
Oh, hang on 1 second. No, he heard you. Jerry told me earlier today. Hang on 1 sec. Jerry told me earlier today that we were going to win this game rather easily. And I said, Jerry, man, we're just cursed against these guys. I woke up today feeling sick about this game. And Jerry said, nah, you don't believe in that stuff. Jerry, do you hear what this guy just said? I mean, we had a series of things happen today that scream curse. Do either you or Tony subscribe to that we're cursed against Florida? Tony, you saw that 2 years ago when our guys looked like electric football in our back seven twice to beat us, twice a 13-point lead inside of 5 minutes. Do either one of you guys believe we're cursed against this team and that we're snake-bitten against this team? Jerry, I'll start with you.
No, I don't. Not right now. The dual years, yes. Right now, no, I don't.
Tony, do you?
Tony, I'll disagree.
Well, hang on. Tony, do you? Tony Robinson.
But Tony, you know, I said on national TV that we'll win by 10. And I tell you, I would never believe it if you told me that we would lose this game the same way we lost it 2 years ago. I would never believe you. I would never believe you, man. But it happened.
You split your vote. You split your vote there, Testerman. Go ahead, my man.
Yeah. So here's why I will talk to the curse a little bit. You don't even have to be good early in the game when you're first and goal at about the maybe 1 yard line, 3/4 yard line, something like that. You don't even have to be good. You could go like Peter Russo, get the headset and line up under center and do a QB sneak. And then if you don't get it, go to the tailback and go to the tailback two more times. And then if they stop you, they stop you. I think Butch is to the point to where he's overanalyzed everything and his mind is going like 100 miles an hour
And he's just almost, it's just to the point he's almost trolling us with these play calls. And then you couple in the Florida series, and I'll go back to 1985, Tony. I mean, that 1985 Tennessee is one of the best teams of my lifetime. And I think Joey Klinkskills was the only guy scored in a 17-10 loss at Gainesville, which, granted, Florida was on probation. You know, and then 91 was a real good team loss. 93 down there with Heath Shuler, really good team loss. 95, the team finished third in the country and lost. 97 won the SEC title, lost. 1999 brought back the most talented school in history, lost the game. 01 and 03 were anomalies, and since then, I mean, it's a joke, but this whole thing, I mean, when you look at, I mean, Butch should be 4-1, Tony. And let's give, you know, Muschamp the 13 win when they spotted us at 7-0 touchdown and didn't break a sweat. And we put Peter Boy out there, Fumbleman, as Big Orange Bill likes to call him. I mean, that could have been a win. But then you look at 14 should have been a win. No question. 15, 4th and 13. Right? And then last year we hammer them. If we don't give them so much points, we win that game by 30 points.
Yep.
And then this year we're so much better. So what I was going to say, Jerry, you were spot on. I mean, this, a lot of times I don't like to say, oh, we're a better team than Florida, because I feel like it's still, you know, crying over spilled milk being a baby. But this literally was, we were so much better than them. They got no offense, man. And we continued to shoot ourselves in the foot in close territory. And then, don't you know it, John Kelly breaks a 40-yard run and does a gator chomp. And how come Tim Tebow never got penalized for doing that gator chomp when he was there?
We talked about that earlier, Lloydie. How come he did it at midfield, taunted with regularity, was allowed to do it. They've always been allowed to do it. They've done it on the field at various times. And for some reason, when one of our guys gator chomps, it's illegal. It's very strange.
Yeah. Well, it was stupid. Kelly's got to know better than that. But I don't blame him, because he should have got the ball one time, two times, three times, or four times inside the one-inch line.
Yep.
As many times as they did. And if they stop us there, I'm fine with it. I'm not even calling your show. I'm cool with it. But we invent ways to lose to them that's worse than the last time. And last year we hammered those guys. I mean, it's a 10-point, but we really beat them by like 4 touchdowns.
And
I mean, we demolished that team. So
it's just like you always say, Tony. He finds a way to snatch a defeat away from the jaws of victory. And like you said, caller, it's like inventing new ways. And every time you think, okay, well, that's not an option, we've gotten past that. Nope, here's another way.
Yeah,
it's
well, I agree with
uncanny.
Your screener there, but Tony, couldn't I say this? I mean, I used to kind of think Butch maybe knew what he was doing, but let's just say, for argument's sake, that Butch is a total fool, just a total buffoon, stupid, low IQ fool that has scammed the university into making him head coach. Couldn't you stay out of the way to at least have won two of these four losses against Florida?
Yes.
I mean, do you have to be that unlucky?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you could
totally
almost say, you almost have to be like, really that stupid. Let's, you know, maybe he's not. I'm trying to give the guy, I've given the guy a ton of chances, I think. But I'm sick of saying he wants to be here, because, you know, for $4 million, I want to be there.
Hell yeah, I want to be there. Ain't no mercy mission to Calcutta,
so
man.
That whole stuff, you know. The guy puts on a good front, and he's, you know, sweats and all, gets mad. But, you know, at the end of the day, why can, you know, literally in this Florida series, so the, and that's the difference in like a couple 9-win seasons. Tonight's game, we're going to go 6-6 this year. You can write this down. And if we'd have won tonight, we'd have been 9-3. That's how much I think this game meant.
Oh, it's huge.
And
absolutely
that
huge
team will probably regroup, you know, and they'll probably, because if you remember that 15 game, they beat the hell out of that good old Miss team that just beat Alabama the week before. They beat the hell out of them, 38-10. So Florida will regroup and find a way to win like 10 games.
No, no way. No. That Florida team's going to lose. That Florida team's going to lose 4 or 5 games.
Well, you said the Oklahoma team will lose 5 games that year they made the playoff. Well, my point is, we seem to give opportunities to teams that you just, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
But that Oklahoma team at least had some talent. This Florida team has no talent.
Yeah, they really don't do that.
They're really, really awful.
I'll say this, though. Derek Mason, I honestly think he's the best football coach in the East.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You know, and he's got – that guy held K-State to 7 points.
Unbelievable job by them. And he is a great defensive coach.
Yeah, and you know what? He took over the defensive scheme, and he's their defensive coordinator.
Our quarterback better grow, Tony. Thank you, Lloydie.
One last thing.
Yeah.
There was a song that said, "Video killed the radio star."
Yeah.
And tonight I'm going to say, because I'm going to call Butch Wadio, as in white radio, "Radio killed the Wadio star" at the end of the year. What do you think?
You're a trip, dude. Thank you. T-Rob, Derek Mason has that. Derek Mason has them playing some serious football at Vanderbilt, and he's a great defensive coach. Now, how – and Georgia's going to do things today. What did Georgia learn on film today that our quarterback and our offensive staff has to get better with, and particularly baiting our quarterback into making throws and our receivers into finishing plays? What did they learn today that they can do against us, Tone? Anything?
Well, for one thing, they want to keep Dorman in the pocket. They don't want to, you know, want him running around a little bit. They want to keep him in the pocket and, they don't want to lose us. They don't want to lose a game by us running the ball. They don't want to let John Kelly do his thing, but make us beat them with the pass, not beat them by the run. I think our receivers get to run better routes. You know, more precision routes. Being a quarterback myself, you know, I was watching some of the routes that were being run, and you know, Josh Smith, one crossing route, you know, he's drifting on his route.
Yeah.
He's drifting on his route, so it's making it a hard throw on the quarterback. And then, you know, the receiver, once he commits to his route, he's got to stay with it. You know, you can't change the route on the quarterback, because you know, the quarterback sees one thing, and obviously you change it up on it, then, it looks bad for the quarterback, but it's not on the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So, but I think, you know, by the time we get to Vanderbilt, we're going to be a much better team. And like I say, just, you know, everybody just be patient. We're coming. Offense is coming. We're coming.
Yeah, the defense is what I'm concerned about. Go ahead, Al, then we'll go back to the phones.
Tony, I agree with almost everything you said there about, I mean, if I'm an opposing defensive coordinator facing Tennessee, I'm just going to stack the box. I mean, I'm going to dare you to pass. But my only thing I disagreed with you is I'm wondering, when you said you want to keep Dormini in the pocket, I think the opposite. I think you want to get him uncomfortable moving around, because to me that's when he started throwing off his back foot, and he did that from the pocket sometimes. But we talked about it earlier in the show, he doesn't look comfortable when he's not able to just stand and set his feet.
Yep.
If he's moving around, whether it's because the defense is forcing him to or whether it's part of a rollout or whatever, to me, he doesn't look very comfortable. So if I'm an opposing coordinator, I'm going to bring pressure and get him off his spot and try to make him throw off his back foot over the middle like he did today.
And again, the most incredible thing, and then we'll go back to the phones, the most incredible thing to me about today's game, the end of the game, Tennessee does not bring the house at that guy and force him to run around. They let him set his feet, step into a throw. He got a perfect lane to do it, Tony. And he gets credit because he threw a hell of a ball down there, Tony. That kid threw a great ball.
They got pressure on him. He stepped up in the pocket.
Exactly. Exactly.
He stepped up in the pocket.
He found a clean lane.
He rolled out to his right, and he bought some time for himself. Now, that's where Abernathy, number 22, looks in the backfield. And he gets beat. You know, same thing as 2 years ago. The same quarterback, he rolls out, he may buy some time for himself, and he gets out and he makes a, you know, good throw, and Callaway makes a great run. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing, just about the same thing. And I tell you what, it all boils down to, it's not coaching, it's just the player, Tony. It's the player. One play left in the game. Nobody. I'm the last man on the field. Nobody gets behind me. Nobody.
865-200-5402. So here's the deal. We're in way bonus time now. Okay. I just checked our tip jar, and we're not feeling love. Okay. And I'm roached. Love you, but I'm exhausted. 28 past midnight. I got to see some love on that tip jar because I'm feeling kind of exhausted. The number is 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us. The way you tip us is you go to TonyBasilio.com. That's TonyBasilio.com. And you hit the site, and you find how to leave a tip, and you leave us a tip.